proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program. We continue our series about the 6 days of creation by looking at the events which transpired on the third day. On the third day of creation, God separated various terrestrial phenomena. Before this period, the earth consisted of a conglomerate, one composed of soil and water. God ordered the waters gathered on the earth to retreat, leaving large swaths of dry land standing above the waterline. Some of this receding water filled indentations in the surface of the earth, causing rivers, streams, and pools. God then commanded the earth to bring forth grass, herbs, and fruit trees. After doing so, he noted that, quote, "it was good," unquote. That is to say, beneficial. Note that the herbs and fruit trees germinated, quote, "after his kind," unquote. In other words, mint plants blossom with mint leaves, not rosemary leaves. Apple trees bore apples, not pears. No subspecies of herb or tree generated a crop associated with a different subspecies of herb or tree. Why did God command the waters on earth to withdraw? Mankind, and most species of animals, require land upon which to maintain themselves. Though God had not yet created man, neither the beasts of the earth, he prepared for them in advance a habitat in which they could flourish. Grass grew on the newly exposed ground. The circumstance suggested that certain topographical features, such as deserts, had not yet come into being. Underground sources of water kept the grass irrigated. The existence of grass testified to God's concern for life. Jesus Christ spoke of this in the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, asking his disciples, quote, "If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" God also enabled herbs to sprout. The author of Psalm 104 noted how, quote, "God causeth the earth to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he might bring forth food out of the earth," unquote. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, the author of that epistle observed that, quote, "the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God," unquote. Neither grass nor herb lasts for any length of time, though. Thus the import of God's statement when he vowed to destroy the Assyrians, according to Isaiah chapter 37. God compared the Assyrian armies to, quote, "the grass of the field," unquote, as well as, quote, "the green herb," unquote, plants which would soon perish. The existence of fruit trees provided evidence of productive soil. As Nehemiah pointed out in the 9th chapter of his book, the Israelites in Canaan, quote, "possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance," unquote. The author of Ecclesiastes 2 remarked how, quote, "I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees of them of all kinds of fruits," unquote. The presence of the fruit tree and the herb indicated prosperity in the land. The narrative contained in Genesis chapter 1 affirmed that God made it possible for plants and fruit trees to grow after having created these. Thus ended the third day of creation. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.